Yeah, hi.
Hello, Sai. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Jason. How are you
Excellent. It's nice to finally meet you.
Thank you for your patience.
Yeah, no worries. No worries. What time is it where you are?
It's 6:35 p.m. in India.
Excellent. Okay, so you're 4.5 hours ahead of me.
Correct.
All right. That half hour is kind of confusing sometimes.
Yeah. So firstly, thank you very much, Jason, for accepting my invitation and accepting to be on my show.
Yeah, sure. And did I pronounce your name correctly, Sai?
Correct. Yeah.
Sai. Okay. All right.
So I've gone through your profile. I can see you are doing a lot of work, and also you have done a lot of work in your career. So I thought to tell about your work to my audience.
Okay. Where should I begin?
So you can introduce yourself to my audience.
Okay. I am Jason Mashak. I'm about a little over 50 years old now, and so I've been working in the professional world for about 30 years. And before that, as a teenager, I had a lot of experience with different small businesses, family businesses, and whatnot. So I've been working closer to 40 years now, which is kind of scary if I think about it. It's too much work. But I'm learning how to work smarter and not harder. Every year, that's the goal, you know. I started out doing lots of service industry, manual labor type work with the family businesses, you know, lawn care services, pressure washing businesses for trucking companies, things like that. And then over time, got into sales and realized that I could do quite well in sales without having a university background, which I didn't go straight to university at the time. It was quite difficult in the US. And so then after some time in sales, and I decided I was in security sales actually for ADT Security. I decided to go back to university and be a high school English teacher. And when I was teaching high schoolers, I realized that it was very much like being in sales. It's the same things that you're doing. You're helping the audience to understand what they need and empower them to be able to work for it on their own. And so that's basically what education is all about. And so then I started thinking over the years about, you know, marketing as well, because when I was in sales, people would come to me about with lots of marketing questions, and I would help them with marketing campaigns. And so these things, it became a part of my professional and personal identity, where marketing and sales and education are kind of all very much intertwined, and I would put them under an umbrella of communication. Yeah, soft skills, knowing how to interpret ideas, translate ideas to different audiences, and you know, be able to say things in different ways so that people can understand it. So I've been in mostly in the security industry for antivirus companies, you know, Avast, Avira, for about 7.5 years, and now at Runecast for about the past 4.5 years. I started out as the head of the marketing department and successfully, well, found a very talented person on the team who wanted to climb her way up and make a bigger impact. So we worked on putting her into that role to take over the team and the operations. And I have shifted sideways into a dedicated role for public relations and analyst relations. So that's what I'm doing now for Runecast for the past year.
You're from?
Where am I from? I was born in Michigan, not far from Chicago, right on the shores of Lake Michigan, basically. And I was there till I was 10 years old, and then for about 15 years I lived in Georgia and Tennessee, and then for 8 years in Oregon, and then in 2006 I moved to Europe, and have been living in Czech Republic ever since, with the exception of about 3.5 years in Germany and Munich.
Awesome. So, how is your present work experience and what it is about? Before answering this question, I just want to quickly tell about my sponsor for my podcast.
Okay.
So, yeah, Start Adam. Sales and customer facing teams often switch between several communication tools, causing time management and visibility issues that can slow down deal velocity. The solution joins StatAdam, where conversation converts. With StatAdam, your team can centralize all communications within your chat tool. No more switching, waiting, or fragmented chats, because chat messaging is where business gets done. Sales teams can stay in Slack or Microsoft Teams and connect with customers, leads, or candidates on their existing chat tool, building better relationships through constant communication in inbound or outbound messaging. Make it encrypted and compliant. Plus, bring all communication in your CRM or note or ticketing system. No data entry required. Join StatAdam to enhance customer relationships and close deals at hyperspeed with unified chat. Thank you, Jason, again for your presence.
That all sounded quite impressive. I think people should check that out. Yeah, that sounds great. And I apologize, I got so wrapped up in that, I forgot your question.
So your present role, what is your present role and what's your responsibility?
Yeah, my present role for Runecast is trying to seek out public relations opportunities, you know, ways to get the brand out there, make us more visible. And then on the analyst relations side, it's reaching out and building communication bridges with industry analysts at the analyst firms like Gartner, IDC, Forrester. I worked a couple of years at IDC as an editor about 12, 13 years ago. And I think that helped me a lot to understand, you know, speaking with the analysts daily, working with them daily, to kind of understand what their pain points are. So it helps me to be able to create that relationship with them a little easier. So, and then the idea behind the analyst relations is, of course, to make sure that when they're doing their research on our industry, that they know that we exist and they know that what we're doing in the space and how it fits into their research. And of course, what we like to have from that in return is just to be acknowledged in reports. You know, that's kind of the best thing for us, is just for people to know that we're here. Once people see the product themselves, it almost sells itself. So I'm quite lucky to be working for a company where we don't have to worry about you know, negative press. We so far everything has been positive, and our customer base is super happy with everything. So I can imagine in places I've worked before where people were, you know, customers were not always so happy. So then it was more difficult to do the job. But right now it's much easier because, you know, I just have to get the brand mentioned, and then the customers are happy, so everything works out.
And the public relations.
Yeah, public relations is about, you know, making relationships with journalists and different media publications, and like yourself, you know, you and I met somehow through my efforts as a PR guy. So thanks for reaching out.
So as a public relations officer, what's your role? What responsibility is yours, and what you have done?
I think let me start with one of the biggest challenges. I mean, the responsibilities are pretty much the same in every industry, just to get the brand noticed without spending a lot of marketing budget. You know, I would say the biggest challenges right now are the fact that there is so much digital noise. You know, and you probably deal with this as well. You know, you have this show and you're trying to broadcast it to the world, and it gets harder and harder over time because every year there are 50 or 100 more shows popping up, you know. And so it's just the sheer volume of content that is just being sent out on a daily basis, and it's growing. And now we add AI to the mix, and it's going to grow even faster. So I think the biggest way for us as content creators to meet this challenge is to just keep focusing on quality, and really don't focus on quantity of content, focus on the quality of the content, because then our audience will find us.
So how much experience you have as a public relations officer, also analyst?
Yeah, I mean, officially in a role dedicated to that just the past year. But before that, as head of marketing, I was doing it whenever I had free time. I was helping with both of those areas. Of course, writing press releases, trying to talk with different people in the organization and find out, what are some potential stories that we can talk about to the public. Yeah, I mean, it's and then before that, when I was in marketing teams in the antivirus industry with Avast and Avira, just being on the marketing team, you work a lot with the PR people. So I've always had a pretty active role, a lot of overlap with PR and analyst relations.
So, what do you understand doing this role and working for different companies and understanding customers' requirements and trying to put the product and the service to audience?
I think one of the eureka moments that I had where I was just, had this epiphany, is that everyone is struggling to make sense of the world around us. It's a very, things are changing faster than they've ever been changing. And I know that that's a cliche, but I started reading this book from 1970 called Future Shock by Alvin Toffler. And already in the 1960s, when he was gathering his notes to write this book, he was talking about how humans were not coping well with the rapid pace of change due to technology. So, and then I think about my childhood in the 70s and how it felt very calm to me, even though people like him were already dealing with this rapid change and trying to adapt, wrap their heads around it. And so when I look at the difference between the 70s and now, I mean, there were like 4 billion people on the planet, and now there's more than twice that. The number of, I tell my kids all the time that when there's heavy traffic around us on the highways, when I was a kid, I didn't see heavy traffic like that. There weren't as many people in cars, So it's interesting to think about these things that we kind of don't stop to think about it enough on a daily basis. We just get wrapped up in the frenzy and in all the activity. And sometimes I have to think about my grandmother. She's 93 now, and when she was born in 1930, she did not have indoor plumbing or electricity for the first 6 years of her life. So they didn't get that till 1936, I guess, around that time. And now we have space stations and all human knowledge in our hands. So for her generation, she's seen like completely primitive to sci-fi, So I think the epiphany that I had was that we're all in this same sort of situation right now, whether it's the students, the practitioners, the IT elites that are operating in, with all the newest, latest technologies, or the professors in the schools, the journalists covering technology, the analysts who are supposed to be leading the direction of things. There are all these new categories popping up all the time, all these new acronyms constantly trying to categorize and make sense of what we're seeing. And I think that's the big challenge that we're all having. And I guess to answer your question, what I really realized is that I was not alone in this. I was not alone in feeling this way. Alvin felt this way in 1970 already. So, and so it helped me to kind of, I don't have imposter syndrome anymore. I think once you realize you're not alone in that feeling and everyone is feeling it, then you realize, okay, I'm not an imposter. I'm not trying to be a professional in some industry or whatever. We're all trying to make sense of our surroundings at all times. So I hope that answers your question.
You have been in security system and you're doing sales. So how was that working for IT and trying to understand the security system in technology and how it is helping humanity? How do you do sales?
The security aspect, it has to become ingrained. It has to become second nature to you, like breathing. Otherwise, you're going to have all kinds of problems within an organization, especially as your company gets more into the security space, you become a bigger target by threat actors. So, you know, we had a really good culture when I was at Avast, Anavir, the two antivirus companies, that basically people were constantly aware and reminding each other that, okay, hey, you just got up and walked away from your laptop and you didn't lock the screen, you know. You can't even trust your coworkers. You can't trust anyone because someone unauthorized might be walking through the building somehow. And so you have to always be conscious of this in all moments of the day. I think working from home, I still do this. And my wife and kids think I'm a little paranoid. You know, if I go in the other room or go to make a sandwich, I'm always still locking my laptop. And they're like, why? It's just us. And it's just out of habit, you know. And then clicking links, you know, this is one of the most obvious ways that people get breached, you know, companies get breached, is people just not thinking, or a lot of times not having enough work-life balance. So they're very tired and trying to work when they're exhausted and their brain isn't thinking right. And they click something and it can cause all kinds of problems.
And without a college degree or being in education, you like sales and you want to be in sales. What is that, and where that motivation came from?
Well, living in the U.S., as you probably know, university is not cheap. So not everyone gets to go. And I was not able to go for about 10 years. I was in sales because it was a way that I could. I felt like in the security industry, at that time, it was more focused, where I was more focused on perimeter security and integrating it with access control and CCTV surveillance cameras and fire systems making, you know, sprinkler systems, fire alarms, making sure everything was integrated to protect people within a space. And I realized that I could do that and actually make pretty good money at the time without having university. So I did that for a while. And then when I realized what really made me happiest in life was to be in a room full of people who are coming up with new ideas, you know. And I thought, where have I experienced that in my life? That was in the classroom. And I haven't been in a classroom in a long time. And so I decided, okay, I want to be in a classroom all the time. So I want to be a teacher. So I went back to university and started and got a degree in English and then a master's degree to teach English. And I did that for a little while, and then I moved to Europe, and then I taught like private lessons here, and then got back into marketing and editing, and yeah, one thing led to another, and I'm back in the corporate life, not teaching, but at least I can be on a call like this with you, and we can be educating each other, so it gives me the same feeling.
So there are two persons in you who was teaching and now who is doing marketing and into public relations and talking with businesses. So how is these two persons in you?
I think if you would ask my work colleagues, they might still see the teacher in me all the time. They probably get tired of it. They probably get tired of hearing my stories, trying to educate people all the time. I know my kids roll their eyes sometimes, you know. I think you can't really turn off who you are. And so the way to find peace and be at your best, to reach your true potential, is to figure out how to bring all the aspects of yourself to work. You know, I never understood the people who, and I'm not judging them negatively in some way, but I never understood the people who keep their personal lives completely separate from their work life and there's no crossover. Because I would go crazy. I mean, I for me, going to work is very much a part of who I am as a person when I'm off work and with my family, you know. And then my family and my hobbies, I like making music, I like writing poetry, and those things are also part of what I do for my work. So the same creative impulse it overlaps both places. In fact, when I got my first job as a copywriter, the guy who hired me, he liked that I had had poetry published, and he said, "You'll be my industrial poet." So I always thought about that. He was probably one of the first people to in my life to recognize that my hobbies in poetry, in writing poetry, would be good for a role as a copywriter. And I think he was right, made a good call there. I later hired a guy when I had a team. I was a chief marketing officer for a year, and I had a guy that I hired. I needed a content manager. And the guy that I thought would work best for that role, he's a high school teacher who needed a break. He needed a break from teaching and wanted to just do a corporate job for a year or something. So I hired him, and he was great as a content manager. Absolutely great. Because what do teachers do? Teachers are constantly managing content, the students' content, their own, you know, curriculum. And so I think we need to think more across industries when we're trying to source for talent as well these days.
So 40 years is not a small number. So I'm sure you might have communicated with a lot of people about a lot of things. It can be business or with. Can be anything in order to manage anything. So in total, how do you define that people's person in you?
How do I define the people person in me?
Yeah.
You know, when you said that, the first image that I had was of my family when I was a kid. And they were always very open and outgoing and charismatic and helpful to people. And I think that that kind of set me on that path as well to just being kind of extroverted when it comes to communication and trying to help people.
What you learned in this communications all your life?
I think what most people don't realize when they have communication problems, if they're having communication challenges, is that the person we're trying to communicate with probably has a lot going on in their life. They probably have a lot of stuff happening in the background that we're unaware of. So I think the key aspect for effective communication is patience. Because if you need to communicate something to someone, you shouldn't expect that you say it one time or type it one time and it's going to be fully understood. Sometimes you have to repeat yourself and even ask, did you understand what I said? Should I explain it a different way? You know. And I think effective communication really requires a two-way back and forth approach. And not just that I'm going to say something and you're going to hear it and understand it.
So analyst relations and public relations. So how do you done this kind of a job, you know, that, you know, compared to the previous jobs, it is completely different. So how you made this possible?
Well, the woman on my team who expressed her desire to be in a people management role, she helped to make it possible for me. I knew that I wanted to stay at Runecast. I like the company. I want to continue to build the company with the co-founders. And at the same time, as I'm getting older, I don't always need to be responsible for, you know, 5 to 10 people and have all of that going on plus my own family. I started thinking, okay, maybe I've done people management for a while. Maybe I need to get back to a role where I can just kind of be focused on myself and what I need to do. And, you know, and so I went back to this. To me, it's very similar to when I was in sales. You just have to be self-disciplined, take a lot of notes. You have conversations with people. You got to take notes while you're talking. You have to remember to go back to those notes. You have to take those notes and put them immediately in your calendar before you forget, you know, so that you have follow up and you don't forget to follow up. I use my calendar like a to-do list. And so in my calendar, it's like everything I need to get done that week, I've given myself a time block for it. And so I think that helps the efficiency as well. In terms of what the job entails, it's a lot of relationship building with people. And, it used to be all by the phone, by telephone when I was in sales. you know, email was a brand new thing and a lot of people didn't have it yet back in the late 90s. We had one computer in the whole office for like 50 people. So my tools were my desk telephone and a Rolodex. I don't know if you remember the Rolodex. It was like, it goes around and you have business cards stapled to it. And then a day planner where you would write your notes. And nowadays I keep Notepad open and I'm typing my notes in Notepad. And then of course we use email more than anything now, especially now since the pandemic with a lot of people working from home, you cannot really reach people on the phones so easily because their work phone is in their email or, you know, but then they're not at work, they're at home. So you would have to know everyone's mobile numbers and that's not so easy. And I don't mind it because I don't mind not talking on the phone and being able to type emails back and forth to me. I like it just as much because I like to write.
So you are into work from last 40 years. You have seen the evolution of the technology. You saw what is happening in the technology, how big it is becoming and how countries are interconnected today. And the large number of audience connecting to a large number of things today. So how do you define this change that happened in this 40 years? Because you are into marketing, what do you think? What's your feeling seeing these kind of businesses doing these kind of things, digital marketing?
Yeah, a couple of things come to mind. One is I had a sales job for 1 year selling mobile phones, cellular phones, and beepers, pagers, you know, the Motorola beepers. And so back then, people were still, they started off using the beeper and then going to a payphone to call someone back if they got paged. And then people's mentality is slow to change. Once the cellular mobile phones came out, people were then renting or buying those and then still using them with the beeper. So they would still keep the beeper. So somebody would call their beeper and then they would use the mobile to call the person back rather than just having the person call them directly. And it took a while for that phase, you know, for that to mutate into the next phase where they got rid of the beepers and just used the phone. After that, I remember when websites started happening and companies had websites. And as a freelance marketing consultant, few years back, maybe 20 years ago now, I was asked by so many different small companies, restaurants, nightclubs, you name it, do we really need a website? And then of course, today, nobody would ask that question. Everyone knows that, of course, you need a website if you want to do business. So I think where we are now is, we were still part of this whole digital transformation had been happening for 25, 30 years in the way that we know it now. But the pandemic really forced it ahead much faster. So everyone transformed to digital in all directions. All the companies around the world, whether they were ready or not, everything went digital kind of over a period of about a year and a half. And now, what we're dealing with is the mess of all these integrations not being so seamless. So, I mean, you probably deal with this every day like I do, like your viewers do, where we go to order airline tickets or order something through an app and there are UX problems where something's not connecting properly with something else, you know? And it makes us upset or annoyed, but if you think about how rapidly the change happened, it's necessary to give the feedback to the companies. They may not even know that the system's broken, you know, that these screens and the way that they're communicating, they very likely don't know that it's broken or they would have fixed it. So as citizens using this technology, it's our duty to reach out to them kindly with patience and say, hey, something's broken here. I thought you should know about it. And I, you know, I do that all the time and I've had good feedback from companies and apps and stuff saying, you know, thank you for letting us know. We're working on that now. We set up a bug ticket, you know. So I think it's just patience all the way around is what's needed.
So you're working in Runecast. So tell me about it.
Runecast is a platform that monitors IT environments. Complex IT environments, and It works on-prem, so but it's monitoring everything from on-prem VMware to Kubernetes containers to operating systems to cloud. And it shows you in a single UI what's happening in your environment. It's scanning for vulnerabilities. It's scanning for misconfigurations, for security noncompliance. And it's showing you, basically it's prioritizing the most critical things for you to work on as a team. If you're an IT operations team or a security team, vulnerability management team, compliance team, CISO, whatever your role, if you want to see what's happening in your IT environment, you can look at the screen and know exactly what to work on next to make sure that you don't have vulnerabilities and your systems stay compliant. A lot of companies or a lot of organizations try to get ready for a security audit. You know, if they have to comply with regulatory standards, they try to get ready for a security audit. The audit happens, they pass the audit, and as soon as the audit's done, some configuration change happens and they're no longer compliant. So the goal is to be continuously compliant. And that's where our Runecast platform comes in, because it automates the discovery of issues and gives you a proactive way to deal with them before you're non-compliant or before you can have a breach or other issues, downtime, that kind of thing.
For which scale company, I mean, which scale business it is useful?
Our sweet spot for our customer base is the most heavily regulated verticals. So the government, public sector, defense, healthcare, manufacturing, education, financial services. I should have named them first because the banking, financial services, and insurance industry is very heavily regulated. So that's where most of our customers typically come from, because doing things as humans is always kind of reactive when it comes to complex technology now. So it's not a question of should we automate, it's a question of what should we automate. And that's where Runecast comes in, because it automates a lot of the stuff that's no longer humanly possible. You know, humans can't go through thousands and thousands of interconnected IT systems manually every day. It just can't be done. So Runecast does all of that for you automated, and then just shows you what you need to work on as a team.
So from English teacher to understanding technology, IT environment and security system in IT, and now public relations and analyst relations. So one is different from another. So
yeah, I mean, for me, it's all very similar. It's all just, you know, education and communications.
But how can you do that? Subjects are different, right? IT environment is different, English is different, teaching that field is different, positions are different.
Yeah, I mean, even when I was teaching English, you have to have a subject. You have to have something to talk about to teach the language. And so one of the topics that frequently came up in the classroom is technology. And especially with teenagers in a high school setting, security is another topic that comes up regularly. Personal security, you know, their safety, national security, things, topics like that. So I think it's a natural, I mean, to me, it feels like a natural progression. You know, what I've done over the past 40 years, it feels natural to me, but I understand to you or someone else, it may seem very strange. So, yeah, I don't know how to explain it. I'll think about it.
But can I say that you can understand anything which belongs to any subject?
No, I wish you could, but there are some things I don't understand at all. like music theory. I love playing music and writing songs, listening to music, but I do not understand music theory. So, yeah, I guess it doesn't apply to everything.
So how do you match the business requirements with the technology tools and services you have?
You mean when you're getting a job in a certain industry, or what's the context?
Being in a public relations or analyst relations, how can you sell?
Yeah, there are there are tools for the jobs themselves, like for AR and PR, there are platforms and databases and stuff you can use. I try to keep it simple as possible. I use a lot of spreadsheets. And that's the tools needed to do the job on that side. The tool needed to do the job the other direction is the platform itself. And we have an online demo that you can visit and play around with Runecast. It's a demo environment. And so that helps me. That's all the technology I need really to do the job the other direction outwardly.
And how is working in different countries?
We are based in the UK. The headquarters is in London, and then we have a lot of remote people all over the world now, but most of the development team, most of the R&D team are located in Czech Republic. The second largest Czech city is called Brno, and it's frequently referred to as the Silicon Valley of Central Europe. And so there are a lot of startups here. There's a big IBM facility here. In fact, our co-founders all used to work at IBM together before they started Runecast. And so we have people. Now I got sidetracked. What was the question again? Sorry, it's late in the afternoon now.
Working for different countries in different countries.
Ah, yes. So the fact that we were based here, naturally, we started to sell more around us in the immediate vicinity. So EMEA, Europe, is our biggest market. And I would say the U.S. is probably the second biggest market after that, or North America. So we have some customers in, I think, more than 80 countries now, but our biggest markets are Europe and North America.
So how is working for Avast and Avira?
That was very interesting. It was at an exciting time in the antivirus industry. Both of those companies are now under the same umbrella company called Gen. And at the time I was at Avast, the whole main objective we had was to beat AVG, which is another Czech company. So these two Czech rival companies were always competing with each other. And then we finally beat AVG. We had more customers than AVG. And then I left and went to work for Avira in Germany. And I guess it wasn't enough for Avast to beat AVG. Then they had to buy AVG too. And then I went to work for Avira, and we were competing back and forth. And then I left Avira, and now both of those companies are under the same, you know, they've now merged under the same umbrella company, Gen. I'm glad I'm not in that space now. I'm glad that I'm not still in the antivirus world, because I think it changed a lot when people are spending a lot more time, you know, on mobile devices. It's a whole different situation there now, because probably 9 out of 10 people don't think they need any security on this, you know. So it's a whole different ball game there.
So reading, writing, how and music, all these habits.
It's all the same. We're all one. It's all connected. you know, working in any sort of soft skills job, communications job, marketing job, selling, you have to be a creative person. It's never the same day twice, and you have to improvise a lot on the job. And I know quite a few sales guys, quite a few marketers who are in bands, you know, who record music and stuff. It seems to be very very common, I would say. Like even at Runecast, we have about probably 70 employees, and I would say easily 20 of us are musicians, which is a pretty significant amount percentage wise.
Is it easy to be a public relations officer?
I wouldn't say anything is easy, but it's easy for me now. It's easy now. I mean, of course I have challenges with it, but I would say if I were doing it, you know, 20 years ago, it would not have been so easy. Partly when you're younger, you take yourself and everything very seriously. When I was, you can see it sometimes with, if you go to a concert and you see a security guard, a young security guard, and he thinks he's RoboCop, he's taking the job too seriously. And this happens also in the corporate environment. People, when they're young, they're trying to prove themselves and they take everything so seriously. And I think as you age, you start to relax a bit and realize that, like I said earlier, we're all in this situation together where we're trying to figure out what's going on. And I think once you realize that, everything becomes much easier.
So how these businesses that you worked for or in your entire life, how this business works? Do you understand how, up and downs happens in a business?
Yes, because I've seen a lot of recessions. Sometimes they've been official, sometimes they've been kept quiet and unofficial recessions. But I think in a nutshell, to summarize, the whole point of business is to be growing and growing profit, growing the longevity of the company, and even if you have a business that you don't want it to grow and you want it to just stay a comfortable size, like a small restaurant or something, you will have competitors come up around you who will make it necessary for you to grow if you want to survive. So I think the essence of business in a capitalist society is that you have to be growing and profiting. Along with that means you have to always be cutting costs and doing things the most efficient way possible. And I think that's one reason why Runecast is such a great company for me to be at right now, because we're doing for whole teams what is not humanly possible. It's automated for them, which means they can be more efficient. They don't have to do the manual stuff anymore. They can look at, they can sit back and be creative and have brainstorming sessions about, hey, what do we want to do that's innovative? And so automation will begin to free up, it'll bring the level of efficiency that it'll free up people's time so that they can become creative again. So yeah, I think it's a good time.
So at last, what do you say to my global audience who are watching and listening to you from anywhere on this planet?
Wow. I should have thought about that in advance. Okay, so I guess I need to plug Runecast again. If you are working in an IT environment or know somebody who is and they don't relax in the evenings and they don't get weekends because they're always putting out fires, tell them to go to runecast.com, runecast.com, and check it out. There's an online demo. You can sign up for a free trial. And then what else do I want to say? I'll just say, hey, peace, love, happiness, understanding, patience, focus on these things.
I'll put your web links in the description also on the screen as well. People who find our video anywhere in the internet can able to see the work that you're doing and also the service, the problems that you and your company are solving.
Okay. Thank you. And kudos to you, because this is, I think I mentioned to you through X direct message that this is quite a great initiative and series that you have running here. So congrats to you.
So that's what my next question was. Being in sales, being in marketing and working for different companies in different domains and also being a teacher, you saw my channel and my work. So what is your observation about my work?
I think you have a huge career ahead of you. I think you have a big, bright future ahead, because how old are you, if you don't mind my asking? If you don't mind.
31.
Yeah. So you're just getting started. You have 20 years more than I do at this point. So keep it going. Every day you get out of bed, think, how can I be better than I was yesterday? That's the thing. Don't compete with people around you. Compete with yourself and who you were the day before. That's the key.
And how is my way of interviewing you?
How was what? I'm sorry.
My way of interviewing you.
It's fine. It's great. Yeah, it's casual. I like this casual approach. It's if formal interviews, you get a set of questions ahead of time. You agree with the questions or not, and then you send them back. And you know, it's I like this because it was a surprise, and we get to improvise, and it's a lot of fun. It's like jazz.
So I actually did a master's in software engineering, also a bachelor's in computer science and engineering. Right now I'm working for a UK company as a DevOps engineer, cloud DevOps engineer. So that's my full-time role. Apart from that, I'm interviewing experts like you who are already in the industry, who are from different parts of the world, who are doing different kinds of work and who are solving different kinds of problems and being in different professions, having different experiences, coming from different backgrounds. So, and also who are from different parts of the world. So what I'm going to learn being a people's person and listening to their experiences and knowing how they experience things and how they solve problems, with this experience how I'm going to use or utilize my knowledge in coming days in my career.
Well, you have an advantage that you can now ask ChatGPT. I was not able to do that. Now I would be asking ChatGPT questions like, how can I retire in 5 years? So, yeah, I think you have unlimited possibilities, Sai, because you know, you're talking to so many people around the world and learning from them, and you obviously are already a self-starter. You're already self-motivated to even create something like this series. So kudos to you. Be happy with your achievements.
Definitely. This is one of the best interviews I have.
All right. Thanks, man.
Can I put this video on my YouTube channel with your permission?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
And also, can I put this audio and video clip on my podcast, website, internet, social media, everywhere with your permission?
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Why else would we do all this? You know, we have to cut through the noise. There's too much noise out there. We have to cut through it somehow. And I welcome any of your viewers to reach out if they have questions about anything we talked about today. They can reach out and find me on X platform, on LinkedIn. I'm all over the place, so it's easy to find.
I'll put your social media presence on the screen. And also, can you spell it to my podcast listeners?
Yeah, my name is Jason, Jason, and Mashak, Mashak.
The same name in Twitter, LinkedIn, everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, I'm the same person off of work as I am at work. So I can't be different people. So it's just me everywhere. So
thank you again, Jason, for your valuable time and answering some of my questions and sharing some of your experiences with my audience.
Thank you, Sai. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Sai, again.
Yeah. Talk soon.
Bye.
Bye.
So, start Adam. Sales and customer-facing teams often switch between several communication tools, causing time management and visibility issues that can slow down deal velocity. The solution, join Start Adam, where conversation converts. With Start Adam, your team can centralize all communications within your chat tool. No more switching, waiting, or fragmented chats, because chat messaging is where business gets done. Sales teams can stay in Slack or Microsoft Teams and connect with customers, leads, or candidates on their existing chat tool, building better relationships through constant communication in inbound or outbound messaging. Make it encrypted and compliant. Plus, bring all communication in your CRM or note or ticketing system. No data entry required. Join Start Adam to enhance customer relationships and close deals at hyper speed with unified chat.